get on your computer?
Yeah.
The internet?
Oh, this one?
Yeah.
Why did you not?
Yeah.
Not at all.
Okay, last time we were looking at guess number one game, and then we were going to look on to multiple. I'm going to go back to guess number one game, and then we'll look into multiple. Okay, so this is into your guess. And as I said, the answer is up there. And so I'm going to enter in four, and it comes back and says your guess is too high. I'm going to enter in one, and it comes back and says, you got it. Okay. So this had a loop. And the loop is a do loop, which means I will always do it once. And I asked at the bottom whether or not I should redo it, whether I want to do the loop again. And I asked by saying, is the random number not equal to the guess? Okay. If the random number is equal to the guess, I'm done. But if the random number is not equal to the guess, then I want to go back and do the loop again. And when I go back, I ask the user to type in their guess, and then I compare it and give them an appropriate message, whether it is high, low, or equal, and then I check. And if they didn't get it, I go back again. And I keep staying in this loop until they guess correctly. Okay? Now, what we didn't look at was the change. So if I go back, actually, let me get rid of that. If I go back and pick guess number multiple games, okay, so this one, it's saying two, I'm going to guess one, too low, three, too high, and two, I got it. And then I'm coming up with the question, do you want to play again, yes or no? So I'm going to hit a Y, and this time it tells me the answer is four. So I'm going to guess five, and it's too high. And I'm going to guess four, and it got it. Do you want to play again? This time I'm entering a capital N, and I'm out of there. Okay? So I can play this as often as I want to. Okay, so again, let's look at the code. So this time, I've got two do loops, okay? My inner do loop is the game. So this inner do loop is the game, okay? I'm coming in, I'm asking for a guess. I already have the random number. I'm asking for a guess. I'm giving them feedback. And then I'm deciding whether to play again. But it's all within one game. Okay? So if they get it, the game is over. And so they drop down. So if the random number is equal to the guess, they drop down. And the next thing says, do you want to play again while you're in? Okay? If they put in an N, okay, if it's not equal to an N, if it's not equal to an N, it will go back, and this time it is going to go back to the outer do loop. So it's going to go back to this point here. Okay? So whatever they put is going to go back there. Now, when it goes back, it chooses a new random number, and then it drops into the game and keeps asking for the user to make a guess until they get it right. When they get it right, it drops out and puts up the prompt, you want to play again, Y or N. The user responds, and as long as they don't hit an N, it will go back. Because I said foul play again is not equal to an end. So on this one, and you have to make that choice when you're making, when you're asking the question. On this one, I decided that I was going to have them keep playing unless they hit a capital N. Okay? Now, I could have set it up so that I was going to keep playing as long as they hit a capital Y. But I decided if they made a mistake, they were going to play again. Okay? As opposed to quit. So if they made a mistake and hit an A or a B or didn't make it a capital, okay, they were going to play again. So on this one, I've got two loops going on. So I'm starting out, and up at the top, I am getting a random number. Okay, so I'm getting the random number. Okay, I set play again equal to Y too, so I set my variables. And then I got a random number. Okay, and then I write it out so that I'll know what it is. And then I drop down and I'm asking for a guess. Notice the do loops I'm not even putting on here. So I ask for a guess. And then I do the testing of the guess. So if it is equal, then I've got to gut it. If it's not, then I'm asking, is random greater than yes? And if it is, then I am putting out the low message. Otherwise, I'm putting out the high message. So once I have determined what it is, now I am determining the loop. So I'm going to ask, is the random not equal to the guess? And if it is, I'm going to go back in up here and let them make another guess. Okay? So if the random is not equal to the guess, I go back up there and let them make another guess. Then I drop out. If they're equal, I drop out. So my no is going that way. And I do a prompt. Okay, so I'm asking for again. Okay, I'm asking, do you want to play again? And then I'm testing. And I'm running out of room. Okay? So if they hit anything other than a no, it goes back and comes all the way up and goes in and gets a random number. So it goes all the way back up, gets a new random number. If it's N, I just drop out. But if it's anything other than an N, I go back, get a new random number, drop down, and start a new game. Questions? Does that make sense? I'm going to get you to do one of those. Okay. So that is the choice there. Now, one of the homework assignments that you're going to get, or one of the homework problems that you're going to get, is you're going to write rock, paper, scissors. Okay? So rock, paper, scissors. And you're going to write that game. Okay, now, there are a gazillion versions of that game out on the web. Most of them are far more sophisticated than what we've covered in this class. if you pass in one of those versions to me, then you have to explain in detail what every line means. Okay? So, in other words, go ahead and learn something. Pick a complicated one and explain accurately what every line means. Or do your own work and you can do a much simpler version. Okay, so those are your choices. And I'm really picky about the explanations. Okay, so I would say that it is easier to say rock is one, paper is two, scissors is three. Because what I've got to do is I've got to select a random number. Okay, because I am playing against a random number. So I've got to select a random number. The random number is going to come up with a 1, 2, or 3. I can make that easy to have it come up with a 1, 2, or 3. So then I can say to the user, enter 1 for rock, 2 for paper, 3 for scissors, and I've got an easy comparison of 1, 2, 3. Okay? If I make them type the word rock, then I've got to figure out, it's a more complicated thing to say, okay, if the computer chose one and the user entered rock, then it means that they have a match. Okay, it's just easier to go with 1, 2, 3, but it's up to you how you want to do it. Okay, how many possibilities are there on this? With rock, paper, scissors, how many possibilities are there?
Nine.
Okay. What are the possibilities?
Be it rock, paper, and scissors each have win, lose, and tie.
Right. So I can have rock, and then I can have rock, paper, scissors, right? So if the computer generates rock, let's say this is the computer, and this is the user. If the computer has rock, then the user could have any of the three, rock, paper, scissors. Okay? If the computer comes up with paper, again, the user can have rock, paper, scissors. And if the computer comes up with scissors, again, rock, paper, scissors. Okay, so you've got nine possibilities. Now, out of those nine possibilities, three of them are equals. Okay? So if you look at it, you might ask the question, are they equal? And if they're equal, you've taken care of these three all at once. Okay? If the random number that the computer comes up with is equal to what the user enters, then it's a tie. Okay, so that kind of eliminates three with one question. Is what the computer entered, the random number, equal to the user? And if it is, that kind of eliminates three of those. Then you have to go on and ask, is the random number the computer got rock? And compare it to one, compare it to two, and decide what that means. Who won?
So okay. Would you do like a one is greater than two?
Yes. Yeah. And make the determination. If rock is a one, okay, so who wins on these? So rock is really a one, two, and three. And we've got 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Okay. So if computer comes up with a 1 and the user comes up with a 2, who won? You're comparing rock to paper. What won?
Paper.
Huh? Paper.
But by that logic, wouldn't scissors beat rock too?
Say that again.
By that logic, wouldn't scissors also be rock?
I don't know what logic is. I'm lost.
Because if it's comparing 1 to 3.
Yeah, but right now I'm not. I'm comparing 1 to 2. Okay? So if I compare the computer got a 1 and the user got a 2, then who won?
Computer.
The user, right? Because paper covers rock, right?
Yep.
And rock versus scissors, who won?
Rock.
So who won, the computer or the user?
Computer.
The computer is the winner there, right? Okay, so the computer won. On the next one, if there's paper there with rock, which one? So this was a tie up there. Okay, if the computer comes up with paper and the user comes up with rock, who won? The computer. There. What's the next one? If the computer comes up with paper and the user comes up with scissors, who won?
The user.
The user. If the computer comes up with scissors and the user comes up with rock, who won?
The user.
The user. And you don't get to answer the next one. Okay, scissors and paper. Who won? And then this is a tie. Okay. So those are the questions that you've got to ask. You can decide to ask them each individually, or you can decide to make a compound where you ask all of the ways that the computer could have won or all of the ways the user could have won. So the logic is up to you how you want to decide to do it. But you've got to ask all of those questions one way or another and determine who won. And then I want you to also put in the play again. So I also want you to code in the play again. Okay, so you've got to put in at the end, when you've told who won, you've got to say, do you want to play again, yes or no? And go back in, generate a new random number and the user puts in a new number. And you compare them. So that is one of the questions on your next homework assignment. Questions?
I got a question.
Okay.
And, I think Seth was pointing this out too. Say for the first example, rock equals 1 for the computer. And
yes.
Scissors equals 3.
Yes.
And you're saying computer won, but scissors is greater than computer.
Yeah, you can't do that kind of a test.
You can't do greater than or
you can't than. Do greater than or less than test. It's not going to work. You have to specifically ask, is the computer a 1 and the user a 2? Okay, so you have to... You have to specifically ask, is the computer a 1 and the user a 2, then that means. And as I said, if you want to, you can go through and find all of the ones that the user won and ask with an OR relationship about all of the ones that the user would be the winner and all the ones the computers would be the winner. Or you can ask the questions individually. Now, it's up to you how you want to phrase it. But no, you can't do a greater than test. I didn't realize that's what you were asking. No, a greater than test doesn't work.
So that would be if random number equals 1 and my number equals 3.
That's right. If random number equals 1 and my number equals 3, then the computer won. Okay. So no, it's not set up for a greater than and less than. okay, because that computer number is less than both of them. When you get down to scissors, the number is greater than both of them. It just doesn't work. Okay, so you have to be specific. And again, if you want to use RP&S or even the words rock, paper, scissors, then you can do that. Now, if you make me type in when I'm testing you, if you make me type in the word scissors, it better be right. Because having to type in the word scissors, first of all, I have to remember how to spell it. And there's too many letters floating around there. So I prefer RP&S or 1, 2, and 3, and not the word scissors. Okay, questions? Okay, we're going to look at one more thing today, which is arrays, and then I'm going to have you do some coding. I took a picture of that, but just in case. Okay, so I'm going to go, and we're only going to look at one of the array things, because we're actually going to take up Visual Basic, and I'm going to play around with it a little more at that point. So I'm going to look at department array. Okay. So this one says, please enter the department number. And notice there's a 2 there as the default. And the reason I did that is that 2 is the thing I think people are going to enter the most often. So I left a 2 there. It says OK, and it comes back with the department is CI. So my feeling was that anybody taking this course, the majority of you are CI majors, and so putting a 2 in there is saves a little bit of typing. So this is just another technique that you can use in programming. Notice I've got a complete program here, and I have body, background color, and colors thrown in. So I can have an HTML program that has CSS in it and JavaScript in it. So I'm using 3 different things. I'm using HTML, I'm using CSS, and I'm using JavaScript all on one thing that is going into the browser. So I've got my CSS up there as well. So then I came down and I have a script. Now the script, I've actually got 2 of them. One script is where I'm laying out the array, and I want to just lay it out one time at the beginning of the program. And in this particular example, I put it in the head. I didn't have to put it in the head, but if I'm laying some things out and I want to have them kind of removed from the body, I can have them in the head. So I put it in the head. If I was going to put it in the body, I would have put it at the beginning of the body or the bottom of the body somewhere and kind of gotten it out of the way. But I put it in the head. So I have a script here that closes, and then the head closes, and I start the body. I've got an H1, I've got a paragraph, and I've got another script. So I can have multiple scripts in the same program. And in fact, frequently you do have multiple scripts. And you may decide to put something in the head or not. The thing that you put in the head is setting things up. You wouldn't put the actual commands in the head. The actual commands, like I have down here, where I am checking, putting up a prompt, I'm checking for something, I would put in the body. But if I'm setting up something, I can put it in the head. So up in the head, I said, I'm setting up an array, and the biggest number in the array is going to be 4. Okay. And I have decided arrays start with 0, but I've decided that it's not going to use the array starting with 0. So for 0, and we'll talk about how this works in a second, for 0, I said no department 0. then one is business, two is computers, three is culinary, and four is office, which are the three, the four different things within this division. So I've set up an array, and the array got five different things in it. And this one has the message, no department, zero. This says BU, CI, CU, OF. Now, each of the things, I said department array equals a new array of up to four. Okay? So I've got the name on each of these is called Department Array. So each of them is named Department Array. And you know enough to know that you cannot have the same name refer to two things. You have to have unique names. Well, in an array, I've got a collection of data. And what I do is I say, okay, Department Array, and you want to know which one? It's the zero one. And I put the zero in square brackets, and that tells me it's the zero one. The next one down is going to be department array with a one after it. And that tells me that it's the first one. This number is called an index. It can also be called a subscript. Index or a subscript or a pointer, actually. Sometimes call it a pointer. Index and subscript being the main ones. So I make the name unique, not by writing a unique name, but saying it's one of a group. But this is the zeroth one. This is the first one. This is the second one. This is the third. This is the fourth. And then that makes it unique. Okay. Now, where do you use this? You use it in this kind of a situation where you want somebody to type in a department, and instead of asking an if statement that says, if they type in a zero, make it no department. If they type in a one, make it BU. If they type in a two, make it CI. The array makes it a little bit easier to do that. So then I have got this all set up, and I come down and I write out check department, and I write out division 3 has 4 departments, and then I go into the script. And I prompt the user to enter a number, and I give them the default of 2, because I think 2 is going to be the answer that's going to happen most often, so if it's 2, they just have to enter. If it's not 2, then they have to change it to whatever it is. So I say the department number, and I take it in, and then I say, okay, if department number is less than 5, then it's okay. The problem is, if I enter a department number bigger than 5, it's outside my range. My range went 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. And so as long as it's less than 5, I can get something out of the array. But if it's more than 5, I can't. So I said if department number is less than 5, I want to write out the department is, and then I want to take that 2 and say department array modified by 2, or that's CI. And so I will write out the CI. It becomes department array modified by 2, or subscript or index by 2 is going to get me CI. So department array with a 2 after it is getting me CI. So here's the department number I took in. I go to the array and say department array with a 2 after it. is CI. And so I print out the CI. People use this for months of the year, for example. They'd set up an array with the 12 months, and they'd go 1 to 12, and then they can extract from the date what the month is and go and print out the word if they want it. They use it for day of the week. They use it for anything like this where you have a collection of things that kind of go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Questions? Yeah.
Can you explain just the first line of department array equals array?
Yeah, it says, okay, I'm setting up a data name type array, and for some reason they decided that it would be a new instance of the array object, which we're not really getting into object-oriented, but that's what that means. Is it is a new instance of the array object. So the array object goes up to 4, and this is a new instance of it, which means it's a new collection of it. Yeah.
So if you didn't have the department array 0 equals no department 0, would you have to have, instead of else, you would have if department is less than 5 and if it's greater than 1?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's exactly it. If I didn't want to set up that the zero is illegal that way, then my if statement would look for less than 5 and greater than 0. Yeah.
After new array, you have four in parentheses, but after that department array, the numbers are all in brackets. Is that, do they function the same?
No, they're not. You have to have the parenthesis there and the brackets there. The parenthesis is basically telling what the highest number is, and the bracket is making the name unique. And so that's why you have to have the brackets to make the name unique.
So are the forward slashes part of the code where it says I have an array that state with that starts with 0 and ends with 4, so the number when it...
The forward slashes are comments.
Okay.
Good point. I should have mentioned that. The forward slashes are comments. So that's comments that's inside the code, but you're not seeing it on the screen.
Like, it's something that you don't have to have, but it's more just so if someone reads it, they don't.
It's good documentation.
Okay.
Whenever you write a program, you have to assume that the program may outlast you at the particular company, and you are going to be talked about nicely if you document your work so that somebody else can pick it up and understand it. And you are going to be cursed if you don't document your work so that somebody doesn't have a clue what you were talking about. So documenting is a value for your reputation. It's also good if you go back yourself a year later and say, what was this program supposed to do? It's nice to have the documentation of what it's supposed to do.
That slash is for JavaScript only. Because I tried it for HTML.
Yes, it's for JavaScript only. What is the comment in HTML? There is a ridiculous comment in HTML.
You could comment in HTML.
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, it's like two arrows.
Yeah. I never understood, like, why it's just, like, the weirdest buttons do half of the stuff.
Okay, there's the comment. Okay.
Oh, cool. Oh, what?
That's the comment in HTML. It's almost worth making a JavaScript, putting JavaScript in just for the comments.
It would actually be easier to remember how to do that than remember what it is to comment.
Yeah. So those are the comments. That's how you can put a comment in HTML.
That's a side note.
Okay, we now have about an hour and 15 minutes. I want you to write these two programs. Okay. Okay? So I want you to go into JavaScript and actually write these two programs. And Lindsay and I will help you if you run into problems, but you've got to do this for homework, so I thought I would give you a few to do in class where you could ask questions. There is no class on Thursday. It's professional day, and so you don't have a class this Thursday. So keep that in mind. Okay, and I will be posting a homework tomorrow for this week. But
will this room be open, do you know? Like, should I still come for tutoring? Or?
Yeah, I'd come.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure
every class is canceled on Thursday.
All of them are canceled. They're all supposed to be canceled. I mean, the school has basically decreed that...
They're not here on Thursday.
No, the faculty has to go to a series of meetings.
Will the building even be open then?
I thought
all the resources were open.
They are? It makes sense.
That's
why
I was told.
So they're open?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, if you come in and you find something else is going on in this room, if you come in for help, then Lindsay will let the help desk know where she is.
But on Thursday, I'll be here at 3. I'll be here for tutoring from 3 to 5.
And so, you know, if you're looking for her and she's not in here, ask the help desk and they'll know where she is, because they may book these rooms or something.
Yeah.
But,
I'm free,
and then they'd be cleaned out anyway. Yeah. And I don't think I need to come in for a little bit more for class time, and I think that's what we're going to know if they thought. Right. Okay, so stop programming. Look at my examples. I would expect that you would want to have an example open, because I don't remember all the syntax when I'm learning a language. And I need to have something to look at.
Yeah.